How to Have Your Cake and Eat It Too by Not My Yacht, read by CookieMom6067. Fabio could smell the inside of Majid's bakehouse before stepping a single foot across the threshold. Truth of the matter was, he couldn't even put a name to half of what precisely he was smelling. Sweets, chocolate, and pastries, and all with likely Moroccan names. That's what Majid supposedly was known for in the short time it stood across the street from Fabio's own corner cafe and bakery. Only a few months, and already Majid's was booming with business. What a fucking nuisance. He could hear Rika's protest dying from where he stood at the doorway of Dolce e Dolcetti, giving up his attempts to keep Fabio away from the competition, something by some miracle he'd managed to do for 3 months. Fabio rolled his eyes. Just because Rika had started out with him here when they were teenagers, it didn't mean he owned the place. Only Fabio and his father's name were ever on the official papers. The sun was low in the sky, and according to the sign out front, Majid's was closing in 10 minutes. That was fine. Fabio wasn't a customer, and what he had to say wouldn't take any time at all. Fabio had only come in here once on the opening day of Majid's bakehouse, mostly to scope out the ironically placed bakery. He'd spoken to the owner only briefly even then, though tearing the man away from the swarm of customers that day had been near impossible. The owner, Majid Zamari, was a hell of a lot younger than Fabio had expected. Something about the vibe of the place had screamed family recipes passed down generations, and thus he had expected some old man and his wife of 30-odd years behind the counter. What he got instead was a group of 20 to 30-somethings, all working vigorously to keep up with their opening day. Majid was no different, seeming about Fabio's age with an odd mix of "don't fuck with me or else" and "I'll buy you flowers on the first date" look about him. Hot. Fabio had mistaken him for just another grunt in the place until Majid had corrected him, then asked what he wanted from the glass counter. "I own Dolce e Dolcetti across the street," Fabio had said with a proud grin. "I'm your competition in this neighborhood. I must say you've got some balls setting up shop directly across from me." "Oh," Majid had replied, his attention distant as he rang up another customer. "I'll have to take a look sometime." And that had been that. Majid never did poke his head into Dolce e Dolcetti, though a couple of his employees had, and had politely bought a generous number of biscotti. But never Majid. Although he'd occasionally catch his eye across the way, they hadn't spoken since. Until now. The now prominent smell of various pastries and breads filled Fabio's nose as he stepped into the establishment. His mouth watered, and his stomach grumbled, reminding him he hadn't eaten anything since noon. There was only one person in line at the counter, a stout little man who was eagerly listening to the employee behind the counter describe the secret to a perfect briote, as he placed 3 into a small paper bag for the man. Fabio recognized the employee as one of the group who had visited Dolce e Dolcetti, though not the one who had purchased the biscotti. No, this was the one who had made an offhand comment about how much better Majid's was. The man paid him, wished him a good night, then slipped by Fabio and out the door. At last, the employee noticed him, and his expression fell. "What's up, Dolce man?" he said. Fabio frowned. "Your bassotome?" he asked. The employee, whose name tag read "A Deal," considered him for a moment. Then he craned his head back and shouted, "Majid, you've got a fan out here." There was a beat of silence. Then from the hidden back of the bakery emerged Majid himself, flour on his apron and a thumbprint of the white powder on his cheek. From the flour to the fresh smells emanating from the back kitchen, Fabio could only guess he'd been baking bread for tomorrow morning. He quickly shook off the thought of how well the idea of Majid being a bit of an efficient mess in the kitchen suited him. Not that he knew much about the man, anyway. For all Fabio knew, Majid kept a clean space. "Like me," he thought idly. "What are you yelling about?" Majid trailed off as he spotted Fabio standing there alone. "Hi."
"Hi.
You've got some nerve." Fabio crossed his arms and straightened his spine. anything to make himself look a bit more intimidating, which was difficult to do considering Majid had a couple inches on him and had a hell of a lot more muscle, judging from the biceps that poked out the short sleeves of his white t-shirt. Majid raised his eyebrows. "For what? Who are you?" Fury clutched Fabio by the throat as his jaw dropped. "You don't... I own Dolce & Dolcetti across the street. I'm literally your biggest rival on the block," he yipped, gesturing wildly in the direction he'd come. Something Fabio hoped was recognition flickered across Majid's face. "Oh," he said, "what's your problem?" Fabio scowled, and he bit back the urge to full-on shout. "I want to know why you set up shop here," he snapped. "What kind of idiot opens a bakery across the street from another bakery?" "Hey, I don't have to explain myself to you. Plenty of people still go into your shop. It's not like you're losing business." "Aha!" Fabio beamed, raising a finger. "So you do look over from time to time." "Like you said, you're the competition. What are you coming over here to bitch at me for?" Fabio stepped closer to the counter and leaned forward. "I'm here to tell you. There's a storm coming. You come into my neighborhood and set up your bakery here like it's a sure thing. But let me tell you something. Dolce & Dolcetti's been here for 2 generations, and it ain't going anywhere." "Are you threatening me?" His brow furrowed as he leaned forward so his face was inches away from Fabio's. "What are you going to do?" "More intimidation tactics? You're going to have to do better than that," Fabio thought with a smirk. "Whatever I must. This time next year, your little bakehouse will be setting up on the other side of town, and business will be booming for me." "You're really annoying. You know that?" "I just know how to get what I want." Fabio bit his lower lip, glancing briefly at Majid's mouth. "With threats? I don't want to call the authorities, but I will if that's what this is." "What?" Fabio blinked. "No, I'm not going to do any illegal shit. I'm just saying we're best enemies now." The grin returned. "Kind of exciting, isn't it?" "All right, best enemy," Majid rolled his eyes. "Just don't go doing anything stupid, or else." Fabio nodded. Satisfied he got the message across, he began walking backwards toward the door. "May the best man win. I'll pay your bakehouse a visit when you go out of business," he said. "Funny, I was about to say the same thing," Majid replied, his jaw clenching slightly. Fabio flashed him another grin before turning and walking out the door. Somehow the trip back to Dolce & Dolcetti felt much shorter than the other way. Rika was still standing in the doorway, looking irritated. "What did you say to him?" he asked, as Fabio pushed past him and into the bakery, the familiar scents of his own place greeting him like an old friend. "I told him not to unpack just yet," said Fabio. "We're going to put him out of business." "For fuck's sake, Bobby, just leave the guy alone." Rika shook his head and closed the door, flipping the sign so it said they were closed. "He agreed to be my enemy. I can't back down now. Besides, if we let him continue where he is, he'll put us out of business. They mostly don't even sell the same shit we do. They've got a more Moroccan flavor." "Rika, you're not listening." "That doesn't matter when you're both labeled the same thing," said Fabio, gesturing wildly towards the bakery across the street. "You remember what happened to Primo's Pizzeria on 6th Avenue? Best Italian pizza in the city, but some dumbass decided to put up a Greek pizza place right around the corner. Less than a year later, the Greek place was flourishing, while Primo had to move to a building with cheaper rent on the other side of town." "What do you plan to do then? Business dipped that first month, sure, but we're on even ground again." Fabio paced the small space between the door and the counter. He had a few floundering ideas, but he'd only declared war 2 minutes after he decided he was going to do something and had stormed over there. There hadn't been much time in between to come up with a solid plan. He stopped, snapping his fingers. "Advertising!" he exclaimed. Oh, now you want to hear my ideas about ads, Rika said with a frown. Exactly. I'm going to put you on this, Rika. You want us to buy ad space, then we'll do it. Take out an ad in every paper. Flash us all over the internet. Rika rolled his eyes, then nodded in agreement. Fabio grinned. Good, good. We'll make ourselves loud and big and drown out Majid's big house. Maybe we can go on television. We don't have the budget for that. Not yet, Rika, not yet. Fabio laughed to himself as he slid around the counter and into the back, squirting himself a generous amount of sanitizer on the way. We're standing outside Dolce il Dolcetti on Main Street, where for now the family-owned Italian bakery and cafe still stands across from the new player in town, Majid's Bakehouse. Only a few months ago did the Moroccan bakery move in, dividing customers eager to purchase home-baked goods and breads. So far, this heated war is on even grounds, as the owners of both shops have said business is good, though it could be better. Is this another Primos versus Mitas, or is there room enough in the oven for both bakeries? Only time will tell. This is Roberta Valenti, Channel One News. That's it? Fabio stared at the screen, his jaw agape. They were outside on the street for hours, and that's all they gave us? What happened to my interview? Rika patted Fabio on the shoulder. You know news shows, they cut shit for time every day. We were lucky to get in at all at this short notice, he replied. The news tracks things on a daily basis. How is planning ahead not early enough? You're asking me? Why don't you go call your cousin? She's the one who did the story. Fabio frowned. Roberta hadn't exactly been thrilled when he called her the day prior to the shoot, and she only agreed to do it for the sake of Dolce e Dolcetti. She had had her eye on another story before he rang in the favor. During the brief time on their street earlier that morning, Roberta had assured Fabio she was going to be thorough. She'd even asked Majid for an interview, which he had declined. It seemed it didn't matter anyway, since 90% of what she got they didn't even use. You took out those ads, right? He asked Rika. Yeah, I did, and I updated our website, said Rika, rolling his eyes. It really needed it. Fabio rested his hands on his hips as Rika turned off the TV in the corner. It was already dark out, and they'd closed 10 minutes before the story aired. Rika disappeared into the back, then reemerged holding his leather jacket. Look, Fabi, we're not in a huge mess of trouble yet, so would you do me and the boys a favor and let things play out for a few weeks, eh? You're stressing me out just standing there. He pulled his jacket on as he spoke. We've done what we can for now, and if things are looking worse in a month or two, we'll do more. This is how business is done. Fabio scowled but said nothing to that. Don't stay here all night, Rika added, heading toward the door. He opened it and turned. Seriously, Fabi, go home, eat something, take a fucking shower. We'll come in bright and early tomorrow and have a hell of a day, as we always do. Good night, Rika. Night. Rika shook his head again and closed the door behind himself, leaving Fabio alone in the empty bakery. He stood there at the center of the place for a moment, glancing up at the black screen of the TV, then to the empty indoor chairs and tables, before sparing a look at the glass case next to the counter, which was filled with various types of pastries and breads. He tapped his index finger against his belt. Not yet, he mumbled before striding into the back where the kitchen was. Dolce e Dolcetti's front door was unlocked. The sign said closed, but the lights were on, so Majid assumed someone was still inside, and they hadn't locked up for the night yet. He'd just finished doing precisely that when he'd spotted the lights in his rival's shop and decided it was time he and Cannizzaro had a talk. The little bell above the door chimed as he walked into the seemingly empty establishment, and again when he closed the door behind himself. He paused. The place smelled heavenly of yeast. Someone was baking bread in the back. Hello? he called over the muffled 80s music. When no reply came, he stepped behind the counter and cracked the backroom door open. The room seemed to burst with music and stronger smells, this time mixed with something sweet. "Hello?" he called again, poking his head in. His brow rose. Before him was a spacious kitchen that seemed, when tidied up, would normally be clean as a whistle, with everything in its proper place. Most appliances and tools were, but the large table at the center of the room said otherwise. On the right-hand side was the spread of various breads and pastries, each looking fresh out of the oven. Majid's mouth watered at the sight of cookies, rolls, amaretti, cannoli shells that were ready to be filled, even a crostata that was ready to eat. On the left-hand side of the table was a mess of flour and a row of biscotti that came with a bowl of melted chocolate right beside it. At last, on the far left of the room, stood Cannizzaro himself. He had the sleeves of his Merlot button-down rolled up to his elbows. His long brown hair was tied neatly back, and across his front was a chocolate and flour-covered apron to protect his nice clothes. Cannizzaro's brow was knitted in concentration as he removed the latest batch of bread loaves from the giant oven that was half a foot taller than Majid. He didn't seem to notice Majid's presence until the oven was shut and he was turning to wheel the rack of bread away from the heat. His wide eyes bulged. "You!" he yelled over the music. Abandoning the bread rack, he rushed to turn off the music on the old-school silver boombox. Then he pointed a mitten-covered finger at Majid and repeated, "You!" "Me." "What are you doing here? How'd you get in?" Cannizzaro interrogated. "Your front door was open." "Oh." Majid gave the kitchen another once-over before settling at the mildly irritated man who had gone back to shifting the bread rack into the proper place to let the loaves rest. "What do you want?" he asked, this time calmer, crossing the kitchen to turn off the oven. "I saw the story on the news tonight," said Majid. Cannizzaro scoffed. "If you can call that a story," he grumbled. He didn't seem nearly as pleased about it as he had been that morning when the news van had been parked just outside Dolce e Dolcetti. Majid had spotted him being interviewed, his demeanor doing nothing to hide how he had been bouncing with excitement. Majid wanted to avoid getting involved, knowing whatever they printed, they'd twist Majid's words to make him sound like the enemy. Ironically, the short-lived story didn't seem to benefit either of them. It was obvious Cannizzaro had been the one to alert the media in the first place. He'd told Majid he was going to wage war against him. Majid was relieved he'd try to use the court of public opinion over physically doing something illegal or dangerous. There was something about the wild look in those bright eyes that made Majid wary of his rival. "You're trying to discredit my bakery," he stated. "No shit," Cannizzaro shrugged. Majid opened his mouth to accuse more when his eye once again caught the wide spread on the table behind Cannizzaro. What are you doing?" Cannizzaro's disgruntled expression shifted into confusion as he followed his gaze. Pink dusted his cheeks. Majid took a step closer to the table, subtly inhaling. "I mean, it's a little after midnight. Surely you've done what you need to for the morning, right? There's a lot here." "It's nothing. I just like to be prepared." Cannizzaro forced a smile and straightened his posture. "We have to be ready for the hordes of people who saw the story tonight. It's going to be very busy here tomorrow." Majid bit the inside of his cheek to keep from smiling. "You're not a good liar," he admitted, the smile breaking through. Cannizzaro's cheeks darkened. "Look," he bit out. "I'm a little stressed right now. Baking helps." "Uh-huh." Majid couldn't help thinking how cute Cannizzaro looked all flustered like this. He kept the thought to himself and stepped closer to the table. "May I?" Cannizzaro narrowed his eyes but nodded. Majid snatched up what he assumed was a cookie. It was white and covered in multicolored sprinkles. "That's an anise," said Cannizzaro, answering Majid's unspoken question. He watched carefully as Majid took a bite, sweet with a hint of lemon, but not overpowering. "That's good," he said between bites. Kanetsaro frowned. "Finish chewing before you talk," he muttered bitterly. Majid finished his cookie as he looked at the rest of the spread. One mediocre news story got Kanetsaro to make all this in a few hours? He'd be lying if he said he wasn't impressed. "Wonder what he'd be able to do if the story had favored me," he thought with amusement. "You've got a nice place here," he said, gesturing around. Kanetsaro raised his head at that. "What?" Majid jerked his head in the direction of the front of the shop. "Your bakery, Kanetsaro. It's nice." Kanetsaro pressed his lips together in a firm line. "Thanks." He looked at a loss for words. Majid wondered if he was hesitant about returning the compliment. As far as Majid knew, he'd only been in the bakehouse twice, both times just to talk directly to him, which would be somewhat flattering if the first time hadn't been so short and the second time hadn't been a warning. Kanetsaro faced his night's work. "You can call me Fabio." "Oh, okay." Fabio was quiet for a moment as he leaned over the island counter, putting his weight on the edge with his fist. "My granddad started this place. It didn't do nearly as well as it is today, but he kept it afloat until Papa took over, which wasn't long, since granddad opened it late in life. I used to hate this place. I didn't want to be trapped here when I grew up," Fabio shrugged. "But when all my teenage dreams fell through, this place was still standing. I decided then I was going to make it better than it ever was. Nobody was going to stand in my way." He turned to Majid. "Nobody." "You're doing a pretty good job of it," said Majid. "Don't pander to me." "I'm not. I just mean, I understand. My place is filled with my mother's recipes. My father thought I was a screw-up, and I was for a while, but we're more alike than you think." "You want to do right by your shop," Fabio concluded. Majid nodded. "And by my brother." Fabio's large eyes softened and a smile spread across his face. "You really like my anise?" "Yeah, I do." Majid had barely inhaled before Fabio closed the gap between them, pressing his lips to Majid's, firm and warm. Majid melted into it easily, taking Fabio by the hips to pull him closer. He could taste a hint of chocolate from when Fabio had been taste-testing the neglected bowl for the biscotti. Then, as quickly as it had begun, the kiss broke as they both jerked away. "Shit," Majid muttered. This wasn't why he had come here. He wanted to know just how crazy his neighbor was, if the news story was going to be the end of it, or only the beginning. "Fuck, fuck, fuck." "I don't know what you're trying to do, but it won't work," Fabio growled, backing up. "You kissed me." "Seducing me won't stop me. Just because you're hot doesn't mean I'm going to back down." Fury boiled under Majid's skin. "What the fuck are you talking about?" "We're enemies. This doesn't change anything. You come in here and compliment my place and try to connect with me. You don't even seem bothered by us kissing at all." "Of course I'm bothered by it. You're obsessed with this idea that one of us is going to wipe out the other." "Aren't we?" Majid had no answer for that. Just because both of their businesses were doing well now didn't mean in a few months or even in a year they'd still be this stable. They were business rivals, with dramatic emphasis on the title of enemy or not. Having any sort of relationship with Fabio could only lead to trouble. It was only a kiss. Majid didn't have to look too closely at a kiss to find anything anyway. It didn't matter if he thought Fabio was quite possibly the most beautiful man he'd ever seen. Fuck. He turned and left without a word. Fabio didn't stop him. Weeks passed. A month. Majid and Fabio stayed clear away from each other and each other's bakeries. It didn't mean shit, Majid told himself late at night when he lay awake thinking about that kiss. Fabio would constantly talk himself out of walking across the street whenever there was a lull. Majid took a page out of Dolce e Dolcetti's book and boosted their advertisement adding delivery to their services. Fabio opened up delivery services too, and against Rika's advice, made it free of charge. While it didn't exactly boom, business was better than ever on either side of the street. The news story had brought attention to both bakeries. Most curious customers would go into both places just to see what all the fuss was about. More often than not, they'd end up purchasing goods from both. Majid had to hire another hand, and Fabio kept the bakery open an extra hour. Both Majid's Bakehouse and Dolce e Dolcetti were doing amazing. Their owners, however, felt only at a loss. That is, until Majid heard about the fire. He'd been in the back, tending to the final batches for the day. Everything was in its proper oven or cooling rack. Timers were set, and for the first time after a rush of a day, he could breathe. Adil poked his head around the corner that separated the kitchen from the front of the shop. "Hey, did you hear?" Adil said with a grin. "Our Italian troubles are over." Majid, who had been leaning against the counter, looked up. "What do you mean? What happened to the Italians?" "Their kitchen caught fire an hour ago. There were some customers talking about it. Then that real serious guy who works over there ran in here begging for an extra fire extinguisher." Adil laughed. "What a bunch of idiots." That explained why he had spotted Vliermuse carrying their spare extinguisher out from the back. Majid pushed himself up from the counter and approached Adil. "Why didn't anyone tell me what was going on?" he demanded. "You were busy back here. Did you call the fire department?" "Why should I? The extinguishers worked. The building's out now." Majid pushed past Adil and into the front of the store, where he had a full view of the bakery across the street. Dolce e Dolcetti looked as it always did, which wasn't surprising if what Adil said was true and it was only in their kitchen. But there was no ambulance, no flashing lights. And yet, nobody had said anything about the state of those inside. A bad feeling sank to the pit of his stomach as he untied his apron and flung it over the counter. Fabio's shoulders slumped at the state of the kitchen. Tazzi had slipped up on the timing of the ciabatta rolls, and half a day's supply had paid the price. Rika had just gone through assuring Fabio that it wasn't a big deal in the grand scheme of things. They'll just bake more first thing tomorrow morning. Tazzi, who kept shooting guilty glances at Fabio like a kicked puppy, was already in the process of cleaning up the burned bread and leftover foam from the fire extinguishers. Normally, such a mistake should warrant docking of pay or something. Frankly, Fabio didn't even know what to do. This kitchen hadn't seen an accident like that in nearly 11 years. And even that had been a hell of a lot worse than this. His father had called the fire department that time and sacked the employee for smoking on the job. Tazzi wasn't the brightest, but he'd never pissed Fabio off intentionally. And Fabio was pissed. Pissed that he should have been paying closer attention to what was happening in his kitchen. It had only been him and Tazzi back here when the fire started. Negligence, all because Fabio's mind had been wandering at the sight of the freshly finished anise cookies. Warmth flooded his cheeks as he inwardly sighed at his predicament. Time, it seemed, had not allowed him to forget about that night several weeks back. Nor did fate, for as Fabio was about to go up front to talk to Rika, a figure burst through the kitchen door, ignoring the shout of protest behind him. There, breathing heavily, as if he'd run a marathon, was Majid. His large, dark brown eyes glanced over at the mess that was the bread oven before settling on Fabio. "I heard," he said. Rika emerged from the front in a rush of excuses about Majid pushing his way in. Fabio raised a hand. "It's okay, Rika." Rika frowned at Majid before returning to the front. Deciding a one-on-one was needed, Fabio turned to his employee. "Tazzina, go help Rika." "But there's a lot left," Tazzi replied, not taking the hint. "You can finish later. I don't think it's going to explode any time soon. Go on." Tazzi set the mop aside and did as he was told, finally leaving the two alone. "I heard your kitchen caught fire," Majid explained, licking his lips. Fabio's gaze caught the movement, but he said nothing. "And I wanted to make sure you were okay.
Are you sure it wasn't to make sure your competition had been squashed?
Fabio scoffed.
If I hadn't been present when the fire started, I would have assumed you had a hand in it.
You sure are brutally honest.
Well, like you told me, I'm not the best at lying.
Fabio moved to fold his arms, when the back of his right hand brushed his arm, sending a vicious sting across his skin. He hissed and scowled down at his hand.
What is it? Majid asked, taking a step closer.
Fabio held up his uninjured hand to keep him at a distance.
It's nothing. Just burned my hand, putting out the fire. Occupational hazard.
How bad is it? Majid once again moved closer and snatched Fabio by the wrist to take a look at the burn.
Fabio opened his mouth to protest, but thought better of it and let Majid examine him.
Majid hummed. Doesn't look too bad, he concluded. I have some aloe you can use to soothe the sting.
He released Fabio and gestured for him to follow.
Fabio wanted to argue, but he had no excuse to decline the offer. So he followed, leaving his employees to finish cleaning up the disaster and seeing to the final hours of the evening. Majid's bakehouse was low on customers since they were entering their final hour before they closed for the night. All that was left of workers was a deal at the counter. He shot Fabio a look as Fabio followed Majid into the back. Majid's kitchen wasn't messy or neat. It needed tidying up, but from whatever was still on a timer, it just looked abandoned, worked in. It hit Fabio that Majid had dropped whatever he was doing and rushed over to Dolce e Dolcetti when he heard about the fire. Something pleasant fluttered in Fabio's stomach that he tried to ignore.
"Go wash your hand, I'll be right back," Majid said, taking quick, long strides to the first aid kit on the wall.
He took it down as Fabio reluctantly went over to the sink. Once it was cooled and cleaned, Majid returned with the kit.
"Give me your hand."
"I can do it myself, you know."
"Sure," Majid looked at him pointedly. "Don't be a stubborn ass. Now stay still."
Fabio wanted to argue again, but he stopped short as Majid began to apply the aloe vera gel onto the burn. Instantly, the tingling began to subside. He sighed. There was an intense look of concentration on Majid's face as he began to wrap Fabio's hand in a bandage, careful not to make it too loose or too tight.
"How's that feel?" he checked.
"It's fine."
"Good."
For not the first time, Fabio was struck with just how attractive Majid was, not just physically, though he was scorching hot, but also in the way he seemed to do mostly everything. There was something sexy about his personality, the strength and passion in how he held himself and his integrity, how gentle his rough hands could be.
"I think I underestimated you," said Fabio.
"What do you mean?" Majid asked, tying off the bandage and releasing Fabio's hand.
"There."
Fabio glanced down at it and flexed his fingers. It already felt better than before.
"Thanks."
"Don't mention it."
"What I was saying," Fabio continued, "whatever drives you is a lot like what drives me, and I don't mean because we both work from family recipes. I mean you,"
he poked at Majid's chest, then he tapped his own, "and me.
We could have a lot of fun if we stopped lying to ourselves about that. That fire inside us. You openly care a lot more than you realize, while I care a lot more than I'd like to admit."
"I guess," Majid shrugged. "You are all right, though, yeah?" A smile pulled at the corners of Fabio's mouth.
"Yeah, I'll live,"
he grinned as he drank in Majid from head to toe.
"Fuck, he really could snap me in two if he wanted," he thought, "or carry me to safety from a burning building."
This was a bad idea. But if Majid had proved anything, it was that he didn't view their rivalry as heavily as Fabio did. Hell, he even seemed concerned. He was just a guy looking to do what he had to do to live the life he wanted. Fabio could relate.
"If you're done ogling me,"
Majid said with the hint of a smirk, interrupting Fabio's thoughts. While you're here, I think you should try something I made. He gestured to the cooling rack on the nearest counter. Is it going to be the best thing I ever put in my mouth? Fabio quirked a suggestive eyebrow that got Majid to softly chuckle. Something like that. He took a step forward, closing some of the space between them. Fabio stepped back, teasing this wolf as he approached what he thought was prey. Little did he know Fabio was a vicious mutt all on his own. Or maybe that was the point. Fabio felt his backside hit the counter, cornered. A shiver of anticipation shot up his spine. Majid placed a hand on the side of Fabio's neck, gently holding him in place. You were really worried? Fabio asked, narrowing his eyes. Of course I was. I'd never get a chance to take you out if you burned to death. Fabio's gaze flickered to Majid's lips. Would have done your bakehouse some good. Yeah, well, I'd rather offer a truce. And what does this truce entail? A lot of this. Majid leaned in and firmly kissed him. Caught between the counter and the solid body wrapped around him, Fabio let himself melt. And maybe some of this. He kissed him again, this time, parting his lips enough for Fabio to slip his tongue in. Fabio hummed, slinking an arm around Majid's neck. Fuck, perhaps sleeping with the enemy wasn't a bad idea after all. I think I can agree to something like that, he whispered. Majid's eyes twinkled with something mischievous. He moved to kiss him again, but Fabio was faster. With his free hand, he reached behind himself and snatched up one of the freshly baked mascuta cake bites and promptly shoved it into his mouth. He paused, his eyes widening. Majid pouted, disappointed that he'd been denied his kiss, but waited patiently for him to finish chewing and swallowing. This is delicious, Fabio said once he'd done so. Oh, what was that? Majid grinned and tightened his grip on Fabio's waist. Fabio frowned up, the 2 inches Majid had on him. I said this is delicious. Don't let it go to your head. Majid's grin widened. Nah, you've got an ego big enough for the two of us. Don't be so mean, you big lumbering. On any other day, Fabio would be agitated at being so rudely interrupted. But since Majid's mouth felt so good on his own, for once, he let it go. The end.